What are they doing?
Lord, have us. Lord, have mercy.
I was about to say nice things about you, and then you're acting up. If we were truly in the Midwest, our choir would be poorer than it is now, because people who are music educators tend to go to one small school in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. It's called Luther College. My ex was a graduate of Luther College. And their school's motto is Sole Glori Deo Gloria, to God be the glory alone. And it occurred to me as you were singing that sometimes when things are around you all the time, you know, like your spouse and your children and beautiful building and nice home, enough food on the table, a bank account where you can actually write a check and know that it won't bounce. Some of you may not have experienced that, but it is a nice thing. That you kind of forget the blessings that you have. And woe to us if advance, church, if we ever forget the blessings that we have here. And woe to me, senior pastor, if I ever forget the blessing that we have in our music director. It's easy for me to remember what a gifted administrator you are and what a gifted inspirer of young people you are. I had forgotten what a gifted pianist you are. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. The word of the Lord comes to us today from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, the 5th verse. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. And they shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall stand like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. And in the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. From 1 Corinthians 15, starting with the 12th verse, comes the Apostle Paul telling us this. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. And then from the Gospel of Luke, today comes what is familiar to us, known as the Beatitudes, the blessings, but the familiar version of this comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And so today we turn to the Gospel of Luke, where we hear a slightly different version of Jesus' blessings. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch Jesus, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation.
Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we hear today a different, as I mentioned, a slightly different version of the Beatitudes, the blessings of God, as Jesus has recounted them. In Matthew, the Beatitudes are the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, they are part of the Sermon on the Plain. Why does that matter? Well, Matthew, it helps you remember, for one thing, that Matthew has this grandiose sort of spiritualized version of the Beatitudes, Jesus looking down from the mountain talking to the people. In a spiritual sense, Luke is a practical guy. He was a physician. Jesus looks one-on-one, eye-to-eye, to the people. And instead of saying things like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus instead says, blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Luke takes Jesus' words and seems to mean them quite literally. If you are poor, meaning if you have no money, if you are hungry, meaning if you have no food, if you are persecuted, meaning if you have no friends. There is no spiritualized nature to what he says, but he says, of those people, they are blessed. Now, what is it to be blessed, we must ask? And we really must ask this because some of the contemporary translations of the Bible have taken the word blessed and screwed it up. Oh, I'm probably not authorized to say that, but some of the contemporary translations have taken the word blessed and changed it to the word happy. And you saw that today. Jane did a good job with the kids about talking about happy. What makes you happy? My daddy. You're never going to live that down as long as you live. Just hold it in your heart and just only slightly over your wife that she did not say her mama. What makes you happy? Being really loud. John Green, we know that that's true. What makes you happy? But see, happy doesn't quite get at the nature of being blessed. It is true that happy gets at the idea that something fills you with joy, something makes you excited, something is right? But blessed passes on the notion that the joy and the happiness and the comes from somewhere. Comes from something bigger than ourselves, is actually a gift from God. Blessed are you, the poor, the hungry. And that comes from God. Doesn't that seem strange? Why would people with no money and no friends and no food turn to God and think that they were blessed? Anybody who's ever been on an overseas mission trip and been to a place, a two-thirds world country where people are truly poor, always come home and say the same thing. We could not believe how joy-filled people who have nothing were. There is something that happens when you're truly poor and truly hungry and truly reviled. that we don't always understand here. What happens is you understand that every single blessing that you have comes from God. There is no misunderstanding that I am rich because of what I did. Oh, I have a great business mind. I'm a super CEO. I did that. I invested wisely, took all of Bob Cantor's advice. I am rich. I did that. No, when you have nothing at all, you know you didn't do it. God is the one responsible for the goodness and blessing in your life. And the distinction that Luke makes that is most telling to us is, unlike Matthew's Beatitudes, Luke does something very, very strange almost. Because Matthew says, here are all your blessings, spiritualized though they may be. Luke says, here are all your blessings, literal though they are. And just in case you didn't get it, that those are blessings, woe to you who don't have them. Now understand that the word woe is almost always in the Bible associated with the notion, woe, you're in big trouble. Woe to you who will go where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Woe. And what does Luke say? It's fascinating because what Luke says is, blessed are the poor, woe to the rich. Blessed are the hungry, woe to those who are sated. Blessed are those weeping and mourning, woe to those laughing. Blessed are those persecuted, woe to those who speak, about whom those people speak well of. He makes it very clear. One group is blessed. Woe to the other. Hey, woes. If you're one of the rich, the sated, the laughing, those of whom others speak well of, woe. You're in trouble. Look at your life. Pay attention. Pay attention. Because you are apt to be missing the fact that God is the one who has provided for you. And if you miss that, woe to you. If you miss that God is the center of all that you have and everything that you should do, you miss your blessing. And if you miss your blessing, you will miss being a blessing. The Beatitudes in all their forms are about the kingdom of God, how it is that God transforms what we think about the world and makes it God's own. The notion here is that we are to be among the blessed, not among the woes. So, beloved, go from here and be blessed and be blessing. In Jesus' name.